You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Whether you're gifting, decorating, or treating yourself, Lowe's December deal drops are here to help you save more all month long. Get up to 50% off select holiday decor. Plus, get up to 45% off select tools and accessories. Shop new December deal drops every week this month and get so much more out of your holidays. Lowe's, we help you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last.
All right, Matt, I don't know if you heard about this, but the police just arrested the world tongue twister champion.
What?
Yeah, they said they were going to give him a tough sentence.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the graveyard. Thank you for joining us tonight. My name is Adam.
And my name's Matt.
Now, pull up a tombstone or settle into your casket and get comfortable, because this is Graveyard Tales.
All right, everybody, here we are again. Matt, how you doing tonight, brother?
I am covered up with these dadgum bugs.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. So for those of you that don't live, I guess in the South, they're everywhere. These Japanese beetles, this is the time. And We are in a little fall heat wave right now. It's like, it was 77 degrees today. It is November.
Yep. Yep.
And
that's Texas weather, man.
We got cold weather coming. It's already in the forecast, but for now it's beautiful. But that means these little Japanese beetles that look like ladybugs are freaking everywhere.
Yep.
So if you are watching the video, you may, because we've already had it happen tonight.
Yep.
Notice that my screen will go black because one of these stupid beetles crawls right in front of my camera lens.
Yep. So it's like little Easter eggs for you guys watching the video. Is that a ghost? Is it a Japanese beetle? Or did Matt's computer die? We'll play that game. There's one on his mic.
Hey, and I'm telling you, Adam said Easter eggs. This is a teaser. Go check out our Patreon, because I have the coolest story about where that term came from. And I'm not going to tell it here.
All right. So before we get into it, we'll say go over to patreon.com/graveyardtales. That was a good lead in, Matt. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And sign up to become a patron. We've got three different levels. We've got a buttload of episodes in our catalog. We've been doing it for years. So I think it's a great deal for what you get, the amount of content you get for what you pay. You can also get not only the bonus episode a week, but some levels get the ad-free audio and video versions of the main episodes, and our $10 a month, they get all of that. Plus, they get our second show, Side Quest, which we love doing. It ranges topics from, you know, naughty stuff to funny stuff to interesting stories to survival stories. Well, you remember some of those naughty episodes, searched terms.
And I mean, we've had them. We've had them. Yep. I just think it's funny hearing you say naughty stuff.
Naughty stuff. Well, and I did have to elaborate because nowadays on the internet, naughty stuff could be anything. And we don't do that.
Oh, no.
So don't worry about that. But it's not PG-13 like Graveyard Tales is. But go over there, patreon.com/Graveyard Tales. Sign up to become a patron. Also, please check out our sponsors' websites. You can find those links in our show notes with the code. If we have a code for them, get you a discount. We love our sponsors, and we could not keep doing the free show if it weren't for our patrons and our sponsors. So if you feel like supporting us, one of those two ways is a great way to do it. Okay, Matt, that's all I got. So why don't you tell us, what are we talking about tonight, brother?
Okay, so tonight, the place we're going to discuss is known as one of the most haunted sites in England, and this is not hyperbole, okay? Centuries of legendary ghost sightings, okay, have been tied to this place because of the dark, grim history of execution, murder,
yep,
and just that Game of Thrones kind of, I'm going to kill everybody I have to get to the top. That is what went on here. So many famous people were killed inside these walls. Tonight, Adam and I are going to discuss the Tower of London.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Man, it is nuts, dude.
I know. It's been on our list for a while, too.
I'm surprised that we haven't jumped on it yet. And it just kind of popped into my head that I had to honestly ask Adam, have we done the Tower of London? And he was like, no, it's been on the list. We've talked about doing it several times.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, let's hit it because this is great.
And I think, Matt, it's one of those things that we didn't straight up talk about it, but you can't blow your wad in the first year of good episodes. So, you know, we did some, you know, big major episodes throughout. Plus, we've done the smaller, more obscure stuff throughout. You got to mix it in.
That's right.
We can't just do all the hot. Don't play all your hits at the beginning of the concert, you know?
Yeah. What the heck are we going to do for an encore? Who knows?
All right, let's not even think about that yet. I don't even want to think about it.
Show's still going.
Yep. No encore needed yet. But as we always say, go check our sources down at the bottom of the show notes. You can find where we found all the information. Everything we talk about is sourced and referenced there. So if we talk about something, you can bet your booty hole that you're going to find it in our sources. So go down there, bottom of the show notes, check out our sources. All right. So the Tower of London, like Matt was saying, is an iconic and historically significant site in England. And the tower's history spans almost 1,000 years. So this is not a newer thing, not within the past 100 years. This is an old, old building and complex.
And that's why I love talking about haunted places in Europe, but specifically in England, because not only is it so old, there's so much history, and so many of these buildings are still there for 1,000 years or more.
Yep.
I don't know that I want to say embraced it, but they didn't shy away from it.
Yeah.
You know, it was more or less a fact of life that people discussed it. Now, there were always people that said, this guy's off his rocker. Okay. But it was understood that, okay, this place right here, where all these people died, their spirits are still going to be in there.
Yep.
And it was more accepted. And so for that reason, there's a lot more documented record of these hauntings that date back hundreds of years.
Right, for sure. Now, real quick, I'll jump in and say, if my voice sounds funny, I didn't say this at the top, but we went to the Cowboy game on Monday, and my voice is still a little sore.
God damn it.
Yeah, exactly. And it was. A lot of it was screaming, what are you doing? Why? But my voice is still a little rough, so I apologize. Now, the Tower of London sits on the north bank of the River Thames in central London, right next to the Tower Bridge. It's located in the western part of the Tower Hamlets borough on the border with the City of London near Tower Hill Underground Station. Now, the construction of the Tower of London began soon after William the Conqueror's victory at the Battle of Hastings in 1066. As the new king sought to secure his hold and power over London and intimidate its inhabitants, he decided to build this structure. So the earliest fortification was timber. It was just wood that was surrounded by a wooden palisade. But William soon ordered a more permanent stone structure to be built there. So this became the White Tower, an immense keep that would dominate the complex and the skyline for centuries, it says. Now, the foundation of the White Tower is traditionally dated to about 1078, but exact dates are debated among historians and people who look into it. But evidence suggests that it was started between 1078 and 1080, sometime in that time frame, and it was completed by about 1100. Now, Gundulf, the Bishop of Rochester, an experienced builder who was responsible for constructing Rochester Castle and Cathedral, was the guy who oversaw the construction of the Tower of London. He brought Norman expertise to the project, and the building stones, which include fine limestone, were all imported from Caen in Normandy. And they said this demonstrated the king's power and the scale of his ambitions. So basically, what he wanted to do is say, look, I'm so powerful that I can get stone from Normandy here to build my tower. Now, the finished White Tower was a marvel for its time. It stood at 90 feet, and it measured roughly 118 feet by 105 feet. It had walls that were massive. They were 15 feet thick at the base, so that if it was attacked, it would hold up to the barrage of fire that it would take.
That just seems ridiculous. 15 feet thick.
Seems overkill, but...
Well, I mean, you got to keep people out.
You got to keep people out. You got to keep it standing. So if you get hit by a big rock that they threw at you and it damages the wall, you don't want it to take down the tower. So you say, okay, well, I've still got 13 feet left of wall, so we're good. Now, crenellated battlements crowned the structure, and the keep housed a chapel, and it provided secure residential space for royalty and representatives, and was the strongest defensive point of the castle. Now, Roman and new stone walls protected the site, and deep ditches around the north and west sides also hindered intruders from getting in. So they built this tower at a site that had Roman constructed walls. And so they used those Roman walls in the defense of the tower. And they put ditches around the north and west sides. They were like proto moats. You know, it was just a big ditch. And if you think about it, if you're running at a building to try to get in, a ditch is, if it's deep enough and wide enough, it's going to stop you. It's not something you can just jump over. Now, in the centuries that followed, there were several monarchs who expanded this fortress. Henry III in the 13th century enhanced defenses by adding new towers. He added chambers for the king and queen. He put fancy stained glass windows in, and then he filled the moat. So up until this point, it was dry, but he had water brought in to fill the moat. Now in 1240, he ordered the White Tower to be whitewashed inside and out, which established its name, the White Tower. Edward I later strengthened the complex with a secondary outer wall and a traitor's gate, which was a water entrance from the Thames. Now, from the moment of its completion, the White Tower stood as a symbol of Norman dominance, and Londoners hated and feared the new fort. They saw it as oppression inflicted by their foreign rulers. And its architecture reflected not just military needs, but also the intention to awe and subdue and terrify the populace that they were ruling over and to deter foreign attack. Now, the resulting structure became the center of the royal administration at the time. So it later evolved into the complex known as the Tower of London. There's around 30 buildings encircling the famous keep that was first built. And over time, the tower's size and grandeur grew through expansions, renovations, and stuff like that. And so they call it an enduring icon of English history and monarchy. Now, Matt mentioned there were a lot of executions to take place at the Tower of London. So let's look at some of these executions. Now, executions inside the tower were typically reserved for royalty, nobility, or those of significant status. Mm-hmm. Notable victims included Queen Anne Boleyn in 1536, Catherine Howard in 1542, Lady Jane Grey, and Margaret Pole, Countess of Salisbury, and many were executed by beheading on the Tower Green. And they said that was a relative privilege compared to the public spectacle on Tower Hill.
A privilege.
Yes, it was a privilege to be beheaded in the green rather than in front of everybody on Tower Hill.
Yeah, out in front of the great unwashed.
Right, the unwashed masses.
Mm-hmm.
Famous statesmen and conspirators, they said, met a similar fate. So Sir Thomas More, Thomas Cromwell, Lord Guildford Dudley, and Simon Fraser, Lord Lavitt, all of those were executed there. And Lord Lavitt was the last person in Britain that was publicly beheaded in 1747. Now, outside the tower walls on Tower Hill, hundreds of executions took place. Mm-hmm. And these were witnessed by crowds. Now, the Peasants' Revolt in 1381 saw rebels drag Simon Sudbury, Archbishop of Canterbury, from the chapel and behead him on Tower Hill with his head displayed on London Bridge.
Yeah. On a look, Game of Thrones right here.
Yeah, yeah, very much.
Put your head on a pike, stick it up there as a warning to everybody else. This is what you'll get.
Yep. Now, in 1483, during a period of dynastic struggle that they called the Wars of the Roses, King Edward IV died unexpectedly. And he left his 12-year-old son, Edward V, and 9-year-old son, Richard, Duke of York, as heirs. Now, Edward V was sent with his brother to the Tower of London for his, quote, protection to await for his coronation. Well, their uncle, Richard, Duke of Gloucester, was appointed Lord Protector. But within weeks, Richard declared the boys illegitimate and instead claimed the crown for himself. So he became King Richard III on July 6, 1483. Now, after Richard's ascension, the young princes Edward and Richard were seen less and less by the public.
Mm-hmm.
By late summer, they just stopped appearing altogether.
Right.
And so that started rumors of foul play. Now, chronicler Dominic Mancini, writing shortly after the events, reported the boys were, quote, withdrawn to the inner apartments of the tower proper, seen more rarely behind the bars and windows until at length they ceased to appear altogether, end quote. So there's no confirmed sightings of the boys after the late summer of 1483, and their fate still to this day remains a historical question. Most historians believe they were murdered to secure Richard III's throne, either by direct order of Richard or by one of his allies, like Sir James Tyrell, who they say allegedly confessed to their murders years later. Well, the boys would have served as rallying figures for rebellion against Richard's rule, so that made their elimination expedient for the new king, this mm-hmm. says.
And we're going to talk more about this later.
Yep. Now, in 1674, workmen found the bones of two children beneath a staircase in the White Tower. So, just draw your own inferences.
That's
there
right.
from that. All right, Matt. So, let's take a second and talk about one of tonight's sponsors, Masterclass. Now, here's the thing. We're coming up on the holidays, trying to find good gifts to give family members and friends. And I know what I'm doing for Christmas this year. I'm going to get a lot of people a Masterclass subscription, especially my parents. And I think Michael might even get one, because we all love to learn stuff, but you don't always have time to sit down and read a book or, you know, go somewhere and take a class. But Masterclass, I know from mine, I have learned a lot from them in taking the classes that they have online. And I can do it on the go as well. I told this the last time, but I recently watched the class on Texas barbecue,
mm-hmm.
and it upped my rib smoking game quite considerably. So I don't tell Ashley that's where I learned it. I just tell her it's my skill that I have developed. But yeah, secretly, that's exactly where I learned it, was Masterclass.
There's no rule that you have to tell people why you're such an expert.
That's a good point.
Some of the classes that are available, like When at Work with Professor Jeffrey Pfeiffer and his Power Playbook, Negotiate Your Next Raise with Lessons from Super Agent Rich Paul or FBI Negotiator Chris Voss. Imagine that skill when you're negotiating a raise.
Man, I could have used that years ago.
Yeah, and Look and Feel Better with courses on gut health, brain health, and skin health. These are great because, you know, Amanda and me and you, we're all into trying to be the best physically mm-hmm. and mentally that you can be. These courses are fantastic. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest schedules. Like Adam said, listen to them in the car.
Mm-hmm.
You can learn wherever you are. Plus, memberships come with bonus class guides and downloadable content to help you get even more out of each lesson. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. So head over to masterclass.com/graveyard for our current offer.
That's right. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/graveyard. GRAVEYARD. Masterclass.com/graveyard. Now, torture devices like the rack and the scavenger's daughter were used on prisoners to get confessions, and this was notable during the reign of Elizabeth I when suspected conspirators and Catholic priests were imprisoned there. Now, we did a bonus episode on torture methods and devices throughout history. So if you're interested in such things, again, go to our Patreon and you can find that episode. It was crazy, if I do say so myself. I remember telling Matt about some of these torture devices, and his reactions were quite interesting.
Yeah, some of those things are nuts.
Yep, yep. Now, execute, and they have such names that the scavenger's daughter. Yeah. You wouldn't think that's a torture device.
Right.
You know, maybe scavenger a little bit, but the daughter of something, you're like, eh, that can't be that bad. And then you see it and you go, oh my God. Now, executions could be pretty gruesome. Margaret Pole's beheading in 1541 was botched. Matt, they say it took 11 blows.
Yeah.
To finish it off.
Yeah.
In front of a crowd.
Just hacked her up, man.
In front of a crowd.
Yeah.
There's people gathered. We didn't have Netflix, so people went and watched beheadings as their Netflix.
Yeah, this was serious entertainment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, other executions like Robert Devereux, Earl of Essex, drew notoriety for the brutality or the public drama that surrounded it. So, I mean, there were tons of crazy executions here. The Tower still hosted executions into the 20th century. During World War I and World War II, the Tower walls saw the execution of German spies, and including Josef Jacobs in 1941, who was the last person executed in the Tower, and he was shot by firing squad for espionage. Now, during riots, like the Gordon riots of 1780, protesters were executed for their roles in violent uprisings, and the Tower was stormed during the Peasants' Revolt that I mentioned a minute ago, and this resulted in several officials being dragged out and killed by the mob in front of the Tower.
Yeah.
So the blood that was shed at the Tower of London is, I don't even know the right word. Dramatic is not really the right word, but it was a lot of bloodshed.
Mm-hmm. I mean, just so much. So, and I don't think that I'm off base. Everybody knows that, you know, read the books or watched the series Game of Thrones.
Yep.
That don't get too attached to a character because he'll kill them off.
Yeah.
And, you know, it kind of became George R. R. Martin's signature. The thing is, this is art imitating life. I mean,
yeah.
This went on for hundreds of years. I mean, you're in my way to the throne. Or you know something about me that would prevent me from getting to the throne, you know, or controlling whatever I have control over, and mm-hmm. you got to go.
Right.
And,
right.
And
by any means necessary.
And the thing is it wasn't like Scotland Yard was going to come investigate it. I mean, they had,
right.
I mean, these kings and these, you know, these court members and so forth, they did this stuff and just got away with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
look at the boys,
right?
The boys that were killed, well, quote unquote killed, 'cause we don't know for sure, but I can be pretty certain that, but nothing happened.
Right.
Everybody assumed that's what happened, but nothing happened because what are you going to do to the king?
Right. And are you going to accuse them? Cause guess what? You'll join them.
Yep. You're next.
Yeah. And so with all of that happening inside the tower walls and around the grounds, you got to think it left a stain.
Sure.
Probably a physical stain and a metaphorical stain. And visitors and staff at the tower, they have typical haunted castle experiences, like being pushed, feeling like they're being watched, chills, or even the sense of suffocation in some areas, which that is terrifying.
Dude, yeah.
And some specific encounters include guards being physically assaulted by unseen entities and the appearance of a headless body in a cart.
Good grief.
Yeah. Now, many people report feeling pushed, even grabbed or choked, especially in areas like the White Tower or the Armory Room. One guard reported being assaulted by a ghostly cloak that left red marks on his neck. The cloak.
Jeez.
Guards have described feeling, sudden, intense chills or dread when they went into certain rooms, particularly at night. And other reports contain, like, the sound of a squeaky dog toy when the dog was elsewhere. So
that's weird.
That's a modern thing. You know, they didn't have squeaky dog toys in 1600.
No, but what could it be? You know, if it was a historical thing, what could the squeaking be?
Mm-hmm.
And we just imagine that it's a dog toy.
Yeah.
But maybe it's like a torture device.
Yeah, something else. Yeah.
Squeaking. Yeah.
The squeaky wheel of the rack as they roll it in. Yeah.
Exactly.
And this one, this is another first for me. Okay. I've never heard of a haunting like this, but I found a Reddit post from a gentleman who claimed that he once worked at the Tower of London. And according to his report, one of the women's bathrooms was most certainly haunted. This particular bathroom is used infrequently, but several employees claimed to see shoes under one of the stalls, only to open the door and find it empty, and the shoes would disappear.
Interesting.
Yeah, never heard that.
Wonder what kind of shoes they were.
I'm assuming women's shoes.
Well,
or
yeah,
maybe not. Maybe that's why they bust open the door. There's a man in the women's bathroom. What are you doing in here? Opening up the door, there's nobody there, and the shoes are gone.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't that specific, but, I mean, that's kind of odd. We've heard a lot of haunted bathrooms before, but, you know, never one where the ghost was indisposed, so to speak.
Yeah, right.
Now,
and I'm just wondering if they're, like, old-timey shoes or if they're newer shoes.
Oh, yeah, like a pair of Nikes under there?
Yeah, is it a pair of Nikes? Like, you got Air Jordans under there? Or is it, like, old royalty shoes from the 1600s.
Right. Yeah. You know, air buckles.
Yeah. Right.
If your shoes have buttons and snaps, you know, they're old.
Air Richards.
Now, the tower is supposedly filled with ghosts. And as I said at the top of the show, it's quite possibly the most haunted place on the planet, based on the sheer number of spirits and specters that supposedly wander the halls. So let's take a look at a few of the more well-known ghosts and stories. So Adam mentioned this one, Anne Boleyn. The ghost of Anne has been spotted in several different places around the Tower of London, both roaming inside of the buildings and outside on the tower green. Now, it is said that her headless torso walks through the tower at night and is most frequently seen in the chapel of St. Peter, where she was buried following her execution. In 1864, it's a long time ago, it's recorded that a soldier guarding the tower saw this terrifying headless figure of Anne Boleyn, and he panicked and tried to stab it with his bayonet. Now, the dagger, of course, just went right through.
Mm-hmm.
And the soldier fainted from fright.
Yeah.
Because he fainted, they felt he was asleep and he was about to be court-martialed for sleeping on duty.
Oh, geez.
But several other guards came forward and claimed that they had also seen the ghost of Anne Boleyn whilst on night duty. So as a result of that, the soldier was let off.
Good. Good.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, they catch you sleeping on duty. You go, listen, you won't believe this story. And he tells them that he tried to stab the ghost of Anne Boleyn with his bayonet, and it went through,
then fainted.
And it scared the out of him, and he fainted. Mm-hmm. And they were like, you know what? You're exactly right. We don't believe it. But then, yeah. You know, his fellow guardsmen came to his defense and say, we've seen it too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is where I said, you know, there were always going to be people that were like, you're full of crap, but it was more accepted. I mean, if this had happened in the modern time, I could get all my buddies to come and say, yep, nope, Matt sees ghosts. You know, that's the way it works. And they would have been like, mm-hmm. I don't care. Now you're all crazy.
Yeah. Now you're all fired.
Yeah. Now, a little while later, one of the captains of the guard was on patrol in the tower one night, and he saw a strange flickering light in the chapel. So he climbed up to one of the windows and he was looking in through the glass and he saw something that was absolutely incredible. Inside the chapel, he saw a procession of lords and ladies and knights in armor. And at the center was a small, it says, delicately dressed woman. And later, he would identify this woman as Anne Boleyn.
Mm.
So he stayed at the window, just mesmerized by what he was seeing. But after a few minutes, the lights in the chapel began to fade, and this ghostly procession disappeared into thin air. The captain of the guard realized he is just standing there, you know, face up against the glass, looking into an empty old church.
Hmm.
But this was the captain of the guard, okay?
Right.
I mean, again, I always like to point out, when people have something to lose, but
yeah.
they
yep,
come forward anyway, you kind of want to believe them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a wild scene to see.
Yeah. I mean, a full-on procession of ghosts.
Yeah. Yeah. That has to be stone tape. Or something
yeah,
for it to be.
Yeah, no doubt.
A whole procession to be that vivid.
Yeah. 15-foot limestone walls will give that to you.
Yep.
I mean, you know, we've talked about how limestone and, you know, limestone and running water creates this battery, you know, yep. for ghostly energy.
You got a limestone tower surrounded by a moat.
Yeah, exactly.
Right on the River Thames.
Exactly. It's going to absorb some of that negative energy, or, you know, you at least would think it would.
Mm-hmm.
Now, another one that is commonly seen is the ghost of Thomas A. Becket. Now, Thomas Becket was one of the very first ghosts seen in the tower. When the inner curtain wall was still under construction, Thomas seemed to be very unhappy about it and reduced the wall to rubble with a strike from his cross. Yeah. Now, the grandfather of Henry III was said to be the reason for Becket's death. So he built a chapel in the tower for the archbishop. So people believe that Becket was pleased with the chapel's construction because there were no further interruptions after that incident with the inner curtain wall.
That's still wild, man.
So, I mean, you know, that this was...
inner curtain wall falling.
Yeah, and this was witnessed and documented.
Mm-hmm. By several people.
And the response was, if this truly is Thomas Becket, if this is his spirit, we're going to do this to appease him. Just imagine the time, expense, effort that went in to stopping what you're doing to build a chapel. And you know, mm-hmm. it wasn't like just a little corner room. I mean, it is, right. it is a chapel dedicated to Thomas Becket. Mm-hmm. And then they were able to finish the wall.
Yeah. It reminds me of what they do with like, the Fae.
Mm-hmm. Well, we talked about building. It last week with the Elouche.
Yep. Yep.
Now, let's talk about Arbella Stewart. Now, Arbella is one of the castle's most famous ghosts. She was once seen as a potential successor to Queen Elizabeth I. And it is said that her ghost resides predominantly in the Queen's house on the Tower Green. Now, according to records, Arbella Stewart married the nephew of Lady Jane Grey, William Seymour. The marriage was thought as a threat to the crown. And King James I had not given his permission. You know, Adam, being a podcaster is a lot more work than I ever thought it would be.
Yep.
You know, eight years into it, and man, I spend time at the computer, staring at screens, you know, reading, and sometimes I just need a break, and normally that break would be to pick up that bad habit.
Mm-hmm.
But Fume can really make a difference in getting you to kick those bad habits.
Yep.
Fume is a flavored air device that's a smarter alternative. It's not a vape. It's not a pipe. It's something completely different. Fume lets you satisfy the urge to reach for something without nicotine, vapor, or batteries. Plus, it comes in amazing flavors like crisp mint, spearmint ice, orange vanilla, which is fantastic, and even mango to kind of keep things fresh.
Yep, and like you were saying, when I'm sitting here editing, that's when I want to reach for my bad habit. And I have found a lot of help with the Fume. I can just reach over, grab it, satiate that urge. And it's something to fiddle with while I'm sitting here listening to you and I drone on about nonsense. But it's also helped my mother-in-law a lot with her bad habit. She loves it. She loves the crisp mint flavor. And it's helped her tremendously. And she was completely shocked when I let her try mine that she liked it that much. And she stuck with it. So, you know, like Matt said, it's a great way to help break those habits. And great flavors because there's no nicotine, no batteries, heat, no vapor. It's all natural and it's the fidget friendly. So if you're sitting there needing something to do, you got it there at hand. And Fume has already helped over 700,000 people take steps toward better habits. And now it's your turn. So use our code TALES, T-A-L-E-S, to get a free gift with your journey pack. Just head to tryfume.com, that's T-R-Y-F-U-M.com, and use our code TALES, T-A-L-E-S.
Yeah, just head to tryfume.com, T-R-Y-F-U-M.com, and use TALES, T-A-L-E-S, to claim this limited time offer today. So Arabella, but it's Arbella. Arbella was put under house arrest at Lambeth while her husband William was sent to the Tower. Now, Arbella devised a plot to get William released and for the two of them to travel together to France. But William missed the rendezvous. So Arbella went on her own. So she set sail, but she was recognized and they sent her back. And this time she went to the Tower. But William made it to freedom. He managed to escape. Now, Arbella stayed in the Tower until she died in 1615 in the Queen's house at the age of 39.
Oh, ripe old age.
But it is believed that she was starved to death in the castle.
Yeah. With everything else that goes on in the castle, I'd believe that.
Well, you know, sometimes it's, you know, a public execution or, hell, even a private one might not have been the thing to do because of who they were or who they were married to or who they were connected to.
Yeah.
So instead, we're just going to make them go away.
Mm-hmm.
And locking her away and either not feeding her or feeding her sparingly, they knew would eventually lead to her demise.
Yeah.
Now, Adam mentioned this one, and this is another fairly famous one, Lady Jane Grey. Now, 16 years old, Lady Jane Grey was queen for 9 days. In 1553, before she was overthrown by her cousin, Mary Tudor. Now, Mary Tudor ordered Grey and her husband to be put to death. But right before her beheading, she delivered this very eloquent speech and then bravely laid down on the executioner's block. And remember, Lady Jane Grey was just a teenager when she did this. You had to grow up fast in old England. But since that time, Lady Jane's ghost has been seen numerous times, especially on the anniversary of her death. Now, her ghostly form is one of the more commonly sighted ghosts, located variously on the battlements near the Tower Green or else in the Bloody Tower. Now, other people have reported seeing her husband, Guilford Dudley. And his spirit has been known to appear weeping in the Beauchamp Tower. Oddly enough, or maybe not when you consider how many of these people were executed.
Yeah.
Guilford Dudley's father, John, was also executed in the Tower a year before. Man, this has got to suck. You know, just everybody's
other
just
places,
getting executed all over the place.
Right. Other places you would think that's weird.
Yeah.
To have two family members that close to each other executed in the same place that close to each other.
Right.
But the Tower of London, with what everything else we've learned about it, you go, yeah, that sounds
that
right.
That tracks. Yeah.
That's par for the course.
Now, the Dudleys kind of make it a family affair, you know, haunting the Tower.
Why not?
In 1930, a young guardsman refused to do sentry duty at an unspecified location within the Tower after encountering the ghost of John Dudley on the previous night. So he's like, yep, nope, I ain't going back. And you can't make me.
Ain't happening.
Now, everywhere's got to have one. But it is said every castle in England is haunted by a woman either wearing a white dress or black robes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the Tower of London is no exception. It is actually difficult to find a castle that doesn't have a legend of a spectral woman in white, or at least something to that effect.
Well, we talk about it all the time. There's always a woman in white or a woman in red, something like that. But yeah, it's always a woman in a white dress. And how many women in white dresses got killed in castles?
All of them, apparently.
Apparently. Don't wear white dresses in castles.
This is not white. This is cream. This is
This is a light gray. Light gray.
Ecru. Now, often visitors will catch sight of a figure in white in the corner of their eye. Then, just like all of a sudden, they smell this terrible, pungent odor of an old, overpowering perfume.
That's not where I thought you were going.
No, that would be in the haunted bathroom.
Yeah, right.
Now, some visitors will say they get this feeling of the world closing in around them and chills running up and down their spine. I don't know what the feeling of the world closing in around me is, but I don't want to experience it, and I certainly
it doesn't sound good.
I don't want to experience it if it's caused by a haunting. I mean, that seems even worse.
Right. Yeah, it sounds terrible, no matter what the feeling is. The description of it sounds terrible.
Yeah, right. Now, in more modern times, tourists to the tower have reported the sensation of being tapped on the shoulder, but when they turn around, there's no one there. But
that old trick.
They do catch a wisp of white that disappears out of their periphery. So they feel the tap, they turn, and then whoop, they see the white kind of whoop, vanish.
This is a ghost that likes to do that trick that I still do to people. When I am walking up behind them, I'll tap them on the opposite shoulder and walk. You know,
you're that guy.
And I definitely am to some people. And they know it's me because I'm the only one that does that crap. Yeah.
Now, this one isn't so much a famous person as it's more of a famous story. Now, Edmund Linthal Swift was the keeper of the crown jewels between 1814 and 1852. So he lived inside the Tower of London with his family. And he recorded his weird experience. So this one we're going to do in his own words.
Real quick. I never thought about it being a job, but the keeper of the crown jewels. Yeah. I don't know if that's a great job or a god awful job.
I know.
Because if anything happens to him, like let's say one of the princesses chips one and doesn't say anything. Mm-hmm. And then you hand them back the next day, and there's a chip. That's your fault.
Yeah, right. It's on you.
Or you got to worry about all these people trying to kill you to steal the crown jewels. And so it might be more terrible than it is a good job. I don't know.
That's right, man. You got to be nervous every time. You're like, oh man, that she is a klutz.
Yeah.
Like we're going
to. Do we have to give her these? Because I'm going to get in trouble for
that. Had I been this guy, I would have made some artificial ones and swapped them out when you know, one of the royal family said, I would like to wear the crown jewel necklace. Like, okay, here you go. And then you got the other one tucked away. Like, I'll be damned if anything's going to happen to this. They won't tell. They won't be able to tell the difference. Those sapphires are made of glass. Yeah. So this happened on a Saturday night in October, as the story says, around the witching hour. Okay. He was in the Jewel House, okay, which is now called the Martin Tower, which was the prison for Anne Boleyn. The windows were closed. The curtains were pulled over and the room was lit by only a few candles. And his family was inside. But suddenly, as he reports, something very strange happened. So this is what he wrote. My wife looked up and exclaimed, "Good God, what is that?" Which is never a good thing. If you hear your wife say the words, "Good God, what is that?" It's going to be a bad night.
Doesn't matter the circumstance. Doesn't matter what you're doing.
You just got to pray that it's a spider or a mouse. That's it. Okay? Mm-hmm.
You got to pray that you weren't changing your clothes when she said it.
That's right. But he goes on and says, I looked up and saw a cylindrical figure, like a glass tube, seemingly about the thickness of my arm. It was hovering between the ceiling and the table. Its contents appeared to be a dense fluid, white and pale azure, like the gathering of a summer cloud, and incessantly rolling and mingling with the cylinder. This lasted about 2 minutes. Then it began to slowly move before my sister-in-law, then following the oblong shape of the table before my son and myself. Passing behind my wife, it paused for a moment over her right shoulder. Instantly, she crouched down, and with both hands covering her shoulder, she shrieked out, "Oh, Christ, it has seized me!" Even now, while I'm writing, I feel the fresh horror of that moment.
That is weird.
So, they had a haunted lava lamp.
They did. I mean, they did.
What the hell was that?
I don't know. I thought it was weird when you said a cylindrical figure, and then it got weirder.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's odd enough that this is, it's like a test tube, you know, mm-hmm. and floating around.
Full of liquid.
And then it grabs somebody.
Yeah. Seized.
Seized it. Oh, Christ, it seized me.
It seized me.
Also, if you ever hear your wife say that, it's mm-hmm. It's bad.
Also not good.
No. Yeah. Okay, now I promised that we would talk about the young princes a little bit more. And as Adam told that story, this is the story of the two young princes, Edward V and his brother Richard, who, as Adam reported, were declared illegitimate by Parliament and thrown into the Tower. Now, they were seen very frequently and then just kind of vanished.
How do you declare someone illegitimate?
I don't know how that works.
Nope. We don't claim you.
Yeah.
What? Okay.
Now, the ghosts of the children are often seen wearing nightgowns, clutching each other in terror in the castle rooms, but they are also heard talking to one another throughout the tower.
Huh.
Now, they did find two skeletons, which they believed were the boys, and they were found underneath the staircase in the White Tower. But there is some, as Adam said, most historians believe that they were murdered. But there has been speculation that the children actually escaped and lived out their lives under assumed names. But if that's true, who are these two young ghosts that people see in the tower?
Right. Who are the two bodies? Yeah.
Now, in recent years, a yeoman, which I'll be honest, I don't really know what a yeoman is. Do you?
No.
I know the word, but I've never really known what that means, what they do. Anyway.
No.
Just showing my ignorance here. A yeoman and his family moved into an apartment near the Bloody Tower where the young princes, Edward and Richard, were held captive. Now, shortly after the family settled in, the warder asked his young son whether he liked his new room. And the child, who had been told nothing about there being possible ghosts in the tower, said, "Yes, but the two boys that play outside at the back are really noisy and wear funny clothes." Yeah, you know, like, yeah, about that.
Yeah, just ignore them.
Yeah,
just,
they're not friendly. Don't go play with them.
Pay them no mind.
Because what are you going to do? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this is a modern story. Okay? This is recent. Are you going to tell your kid that, they're the ghosts of two young boys that were murdered right here where you now live?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not a good... Not a good idea.
Unless you want your kid to sleep with you until they're 25, you don't tell them those stories.
Right. Right.
Now, let's talk about Guy Fawkes.
Oh, okay.
You've heard of Guy Fawkes Day, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's one of the fireworks holidays in England. Around 1870, a sentry was on duty outside of the Queen's house and said he heard, quote, terrible groans coming from inside. The cries were immediately...
The bathroom?
Yeah, not a bathroom.
Oh.
But they were attributed to the ghosts of Guy Fawkes, because Fawkes had been tortured in the building, and although he was executed elsewhere, it was the Queen's house that supposedly captured his ghost, okay? Now, the source of the terrible groans may actually have a legitimate explanation. So, years later, Major of the Tower, General Milman, recalled how he had noticed a strange smell inside the Queen's house when he first arrived in 1870.
But you can't say that to the Queen.
That's right. But he traced the odor to a recently deceased cat, which was trapped within a chimney. So as this cat was dying, it was groaning and making all kinds of racket. The sentry heard it, and they said, that's got to be Guy Fawkes in there, you know, because they tortured the hell out of this guy. And, maybe it was. Maybe it was a dying cat. This is the only one so far that actually had a documented explanation to. Out of all of these, this one's got a regular explanation, possibly.
From now on, if I can remember it, any noises that we talk about on the episodes, I'm just going to say, it was a dying cat.
In the chimney.
Must have been a dying cat.
Mm-hmm. Now, this fellow was sent to the tower no less than 3 times. And that was explorer Sir Walter Raleigh.
Ah.
And he was imprisoned by both Elizabeth I and James I. He was really good at pissing people off.
Yeah.
He spent over 13 years in the Bloody Tower during one of his confinements. How the heck did he have time to go explore anything? He spent all the time being imprisoned, and he gets out and he just goes off and explores some more.
13 years. And I thought that was like over all three.
That was just one of them.
That's
but this
crazy.
Was the one that he apparently attempted suicide.
Mm.
So Sir Walter Raleigh's last imprisonment at the tower in the Beauchamp Tower was in 1603, and he was later beheaded outside the Palace of Westminster. So this is just another example of, when you read stories about Sir Walter Raleigh, okay, he is this, you know, explorer, and he went to all these places and he brought back all these treasures and riches and culture and so forth. And yet he was executed just like so many of the other ones. You're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know, this was a prominent figure. What did he do so bad? It looked like, you know, he contributed all this to history. What could he possibly have done that, not only you know, got him imprisoned for years at a time, but it got him executed.
Yeah. You would think he would be a prize for the monarchy.
Yeah, they would be proud of him. I mean, they would be, you know, honor him.
Yeah.
Well, they honored him by cutting his head off. It's like the queen. He was in The Wizard of Oz, you know, off with his head.
And do you think he said something about the queen's house smelling
maybe
funny?
And that maybe Queenie, you got a stinky house.
Yeah, it could be a cat. It could be a dead cat. I don't know, but like, take him to the tower.
Did a cat die in here? Off with his head.
Yep.
Now, Adam mentioned Margaret Pole earlier and the botched way she was executed. Now,
that was rough.
Like Anne Boleyn, the beheading of Margaret Pole, who was Countess of Salisbury, took place on the Tower Green, which is to the west of the White Tower. Now, Margaret Pole was 67 at the time of her death. Wow. Jeez. She really lived a long time compared to these other people.
Twice what they lived.
But she was brought to the scaffold by Henry VIII. For the crime of being the mother of Cardinal Pole. Was the crime. Now, if you're up to date on your Henry VIII history, you will know that Cardinal Pole was the one that opposed Henry's self-created position as supreme head of the Church of England.
Hmm.
You know, remember, if the Pope won't grant me my divorce, I will make my own church.
Right, right.
Eyewitnesses say that the executioner on that day, which was in 1541, was a, quote, wretched and blundering youth. And, he was unable to take Margaret Pole's head in one clean swoop. So, he just hacked at it until he finally got it. And they say Margaret Pole's screams echo through the towers even still today.
And you know that meme, you had one job. This guy is an executioner. All he's there for is executing.
Yeah, that's right.
And he's got to hack at it for how long?
Yeah.
I mean, good grief.
I mean, come on, man. If you're going to kill me, just do it. Just do it in one shot, please.
Do it quick.
It's like I used to say stuff like, you know, if something happened that I knew I wouldn't like, I'd be like, look, if this happens, I want you to walk over there and get one of those folding chairs and you take it and you get me like right here and you make it count, because I don't want to limp away from this, you know?
right.
Now, this one.
Just drop a rock on me or something from a catapult.
Well, I mean, you know, the French got it right, because when the guillotine finally came around, I mean, unless that blade got really dull from all the crusted blood that was on it, it pretty much did the trick, you know?
Yeah.
But it was, you know, you hear stories about that, about the guillotine, and they said that it was so fast and so clean that your head would still be alive for, you know, a few seconds after it happened.
You'd blink and everything.
I mean, could you imagine being aware after your head was off? I mean, it's not good.
Yeah, your last memory is your head rolling somewhere.
Yeah, into a basket.
Yeah, no.
You know, sucks.
No, thank you.
Now, this one was documented by writer E.L. Swift. And he wrote about this incident that happened in the Martin Tower. And this was writing in the 1800s. He says one of the sentries at the Martin Tower was alarmed by a figure like a huge bear emerging from underneath the door. So he thrust at it with his bayonet, which stuck in the door. So he dropped in a fit and was carried senseless to the guardroom. So he just wigged out, okay? He sees the figure of a bear, like, basically come out from under the door. And so, in a panic, he stabs it, and his bayonet gets stuck in the door, and he's like, oh, my God, and he just flips out. He goes nuts, okay? Yeah. Exactly. Now, Swift went on to say, all of this, I avouch nothing more than I saw the poor man in the guardhouse prostrated with terror. So he says, I did not see said bear, but I saw this guy, and whatever scared him, it got him. It got him good, because in 2 or 3 days, he died. Okay. So this literally scared this guard to death.
Yeah.
Now, this particular story has been told and retold over the years, and many now say that the bear was most likely, how do you say that? The devil in disguise.
Huh.
And he said he was pulling the hapless guard to the underworld with him.
Oh, geez.
Now, I've never heard of the devil taking on a bear disguise.
No, me either. That's a
new
one.
But again, to give this story a little bit of context, there is something very strange about the Tower of London. They had all these exotic animals there. So during the Tudor era, they kind of turned it into a modern day zoo. Some of the animals still haunt the tower. Ghost really? Animals. Because there are stories that describe the roars of lions that echo around the tower at night. What?
Huh.
When did England get lions? Okay.
Yeah, that's got to be a crazy thing to hear. Like at night, you're trying to go to sleep and there's a phantom lion roaring in the hallway.
Some people have also reported seeing phantom shapes of horses which gallop along the cobblestone at night, but their eyes are this like blazing red. We've heard of ghostly horses before. You know, that is not just completely unheard of, but a ghostly lion, or at least a ghostly lion roar, that's a new one.
That's a new one.
Now, you may wonder, is there a ghost of Henry VIII in the Tower of London? Kind of.
Henry VIII, I am.
This is one of the tower's most popular exhibits, and it's the armor of King Henry VIII.
Mm.
But the armor is said to be possessed by a pretty violent and malevolent ghost. Over the years, many guards have reported the terrifying sensation when they patrol the tower at night. And different men and women have described the feeling of dread or chills running through their spine when they go in a particular chamber. But some guards have actually had a physical altercation while on patrol. And this one, this is just crazy to me. Some say that it feels like a demon has jumped from the ceiling and wrapped its arms tight around their chest and is trying to suffocate them. Others say that it feels like an invisible monster is trying to strangle them. They feel the tight grip of hands around their neck, and they have stumbled around gasping for oxygen to get into another room. All of this is tied to the armor of Henry VIII. Wherever they put it, this occurs. Okay? Huh. So it's not, well, this room is haunted. This chamber is haunted. So the guards are kind of like, mm-hmm. look, if we go into this chamber, this is kind of what happens. It's if the armor is there, this could potentially happen. There's
that's a lot wilder than what I thought. Yeah. I thought it was going to be like a Scooby-Doo villain right. in the old armor.
Yeah. And there's even a story that talks about a guard being assaulted by a ghost wielding a visible cloak. Remember I said the cloak that attacked the guy?
Mm-hmm.
He said he struggled and the cloak wrapped around his neck. Now, he managed to get out, but he said whoever was attacking him was invisible, but it left bright red marks around his neck.
Oh, geez.
So an invisible attacker with a visible cloak that wrapped it around this guard's neck and tried to strangle him.
It's like a take on the cloak of invisibility.
Yeah. Yeah. So wherever the armor is moved in the Tower of London, these experiences would occur in the same room. Now, Nowadays, the armor is on plain display in the tower, but you need to be careful when you go to... Yeah. To visit the tower and you say, I would really enjoy seeing Henry VIII's armor.
Make sure there's no cloak around.
It's like that. It's like the meme. You sure about that? You sure about that?
Yeah.
Yep. May not be the best idea.
Maybe they need to have it locked away like Annabelle or something.
And, you know, we could go on and on and on about all the different spirits that are known to be in the Tower of London and all the weird goings on. These are just some of the most famous stories and the most famous ghosts. But they estimate that there could be hundreds of ghosts that roam around the halls for various reasons. And it is so interesting because we have, like Adam said earlier, the stone tape kind of hauntings. We're going to see this ghostly procession with Anne Boleyn. There's no real fear or malevolence or anything there. You're just seeing something that most likely happened hundreds of years before. And all of that stone is just replaying the memory. To, an actual assault by...
Yeah.
A poltergeist, that
to lions.
Yeah.
Roaring.
That decides, I'm going to stick around the armor. A lion, ghostly lions, in England. Okay. I mean, it's not weird enough that they actually brought these animals there and kept them, but then, this place is so, crazy haunted that it held on to the ghosts of the animals.
Yeah. They kept them after death too.
And so many of these well-known historical figures who were executed there, just they seem to have decided that, well, we're going to stay. We're stuck here because of the violent way that we died. But it is incredible. Have you ever been to England? I've not either, but I've had a few friends that have been there. And I have a friend who actually lived there for several years. And like I said, at the top of the show, I mean, it's old. I mean, it's been there for such a long time. Those of us in the US, it's kind of hard to fathom because it hasn't been here that long. I mean,
Hundred years.
We got buildings that maybe a few hundred years old. That's it. Okay. You know, when you're walking the streets of London, I mean, you're looking at buildings that were there potentially when Henry VIII, you know, was ruling.
Yeah.
Or when James I was on the throne. I mean, you're just a walk down the street is a walk through history. And that just, I mean, I would absolutely love that. Just the feel.
Some of the pubs.
And
the pubs there are so old,
yeah,
too.
The Ancient Ram Inn we talked about. I mean, almost 1,000 years old. And haunted is all get out. And the Tower of London is right there. It's been there for so long. And had so much death. And, I mean, just imagine the anguish and emotion and the fear and the terror that, you know, these prisoners there experienced. I mean, you're queen one day and you're on the chopping block the next. So, you know, it's really crazy, but I know
crazy
that we have some really awesome listeners in the UK. What I want to know is, do we have anybody out there that has actually taken this tour and has been there and seen it and had that, the sensation of, man, I am standing in history right here. And, you know, did you feel anything weird? Did you see anything weird? You probably heard some stories that, you know, researching from the U.S., we don't get. You know, what Adam and I would love to hear them. So please reach out, share them. Our Facebook group is one of the best places to do that. Because just like Adam and myself, we have thousands of members that would love to hear those kind of stories, you know, especially if it was something you experienced firsthand or a friend did, you know, let us know.
Right.
Don't forget to go and check out our website, which is graveyardpodcast.com. And there you can find links to purchase Graveyard Tales merchandise. You can listen to the show, and that is where you can become a patron and get access to tons of bonus content. And look, Christmas is coming. If you've got a Graveyard Tales member, you know, that enjoys listening to the show, I mean, look, a Patreon membership and all that bonus content would be a fantastic Christmas gift. You know, they get access to our bonus episodes. They get access, you know, for $10, you get access to SideQuest, which is Adam and I just being completely ridiculous and off the wall, but it's a lot of fun.
Love it.
And, you know, we've got 70 some odd episodes in there now. So, you know, you should really go check it out. But I'm really glad we finally got to this one, Adam. This one was a lot of fun to research, and you know, I learned a lot about the things that I had always heard, but never really dug into. So until next time, we'll save you a seat in the graveyard.
See you soon.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Nope.